Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate.
Let's go!
Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's April. It's the 17th of April. It's 2017. It's Monday. Yeah, it's Monday, so we're back with you guys here. We've got 9 baseball games to talk about here on tonight's slate. As always, on Monday, the Siege. How you doing, my friend?
Hanging in there, my friend. I appreciate you postponing the podcast so I could sweat NBA DFS. I appreciated it.
Like I tweeted out, I'm very happy that I had a Monster Energy rehab in the refrigerator. And it's just, man, my daughter wore me out today. There's just no other way to put it. She just slap wore me out today.
Oh, man, I can tell you. It was it was a long Sunday for me. Like, I woke up at 8 a.m. just wired, and it was just disastrous.
I wish I could wake up at 8 a.m. wired. That would be fantastic. I woke up at 7:30 and I was like, do you want to watch cartoons for an hour so I can just lay here? It's kind of how my morning started out. But anyway, some awesome baseball games today. Not a lot of pitching, so a lot of decisions to be made as far as pitching goes, which is always fun. I like these types of slates, and I think we're going to see those a lot this year because – when we look at it and we look at overall just quality of pitching, it has gone down so much in the major leagues. And, you know, the league's getting a little juicy ball. So, you know, I like these slates.
I think there's some clear top-end options on this slate. So I find your there's no pitching options take interesting.
Okay, so there's options that you and I are going to like. We're going to talk Robbie Ray, I'm guessing, is who you're liking a lot. That's who I like a lot. But there's not a Kershaw. There's not a Bumgarner. You know, there's not those type of guys on the slate is what I'm saying.
I like the slate without them because it requires people to, like, to go a little bit more into the numbers, which I always like.
Yeah, you got to do some research. Or you can just listen to the Morning Grind because that's what we're here for. So let's get started. Chicago White Sox at New York, Derek Holland, Jordan Montgomery. Holland off to a decent start this season, and when you look at the Yankees, they're a team you like against right-handed pitching a little bit more. Any interest here in Holland?
None. I think this is a great Yankee stack spot.
I do too. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page. Jordan Montgomery is interesting to me. Kid has a really live arm. I just don't know if this is the spot.
Yeah, I would kind of like to see him outside of New York. Can we get him outside of, like, a lefty throwing in New York? Can we, like, get him out on, like, a road trip somewhere? Like, I want to be interested, but this isn't the spot.
Yeah, that first start, kind of mixed in a lot of curves, stuck with the fastball, was averaging right there around 92 miles an hour. Just got hit, you know? So, you know, it's always, like you said, I kind of want to see him get out on the road. I'm with you there. Numbers in the minors were just fantastic in 2016. So we'll have to see how this kid plays out. Won the job, that fifth starter in this rotation, and good bullpen behind him in the end there. So if he can start working here, it's definitely a guy we're going to want to pay attention to as the season moves along. Looking at the White Sox bats, anything stand out to you here against Montgomery?
I don't mind a stack of the righties, but Frazier has been sick, so I don't know if he's going to go. But Matt Davidson's been hitting the ball really hard to start the season. A lot of hard contact, a lot of good launch angles, and he draws a lefty in Yankee Stadium. So 3,300 for him, he's a guy I'd be interested in tomorrow.
Yeah, we talked about it on Friday, that barrel account, that MLB barrel account. I'm going to mention it one more time, but, like, you see his name pop up a lot to start the season. So little sneaky play there. I like that call. On the road, so I don't tend to worry about guys batting further down in the lineup when they're on the road. So I like that call. I think people will go to Garcia and Abreu here, and while I don't mind them, I think we're going to see better options here.
Yeah, and Davis has been kind of sliding his way up in that lineup too. Like, he's been starting to slide to, like, sixth or fifth, and so you might get a better-than-expected position there too from him.
looking at the Yankees, always when you see a lefty on the hill, you always instantly want to play Chris Carter. I like him and Matt Holliday a lot in the spot.
Aaron Judge, too.
Judge, just move him up.
Yeah, I mean, he had a rough weekend, but either way, he's still super talented, and he can hit the ball a long, long way.
Hey, Gregory Berges for some run over the weekend. So once he starts hitting him, I'm telling you, you're gonna hit him in bunches. He probably won't play here because of Carter, and he's a lefty. But one thing that I found interesting when I was doing my initial research here, because it's a lefty-lefty matchup, Jacoby Ellsbury has actually hit – Holland really well, 8 for 18 with 2 doubles, batting .444 and only 2 strikeouts and 18 at bats.
Yeah, Jacoby's healthy too. 4 steals in his last 6. Now against Holland might not run as much, but you know against the relievers he still might be willing to run. So it looks like he's fully healthy, and if he's going to steal bases, then you got some sneaky upside there.
All right. Anybody else here from this game?
Nope.
All right. Moving on. Pittsburgh Pirates at St. Louis. Ivan Nova against Lance Lynn. We like picking on the Cardinals, and it's really going to depend on the lineup here for me, because if we see a lot of righties, I actually have a little interest in Ivan Nova.
Love Nova. I think we will see the righties for the Cardinals.
That's what I'm thinking too. Like I don't think I'm off book here, but I think we see some righties in this lineup, and we get like I don't see a way they can not throw out what 5 or 6 righties here.
Yeah, like what is the maximum number of lefties they could even throw out there? They can throw out Fowler,
Carpenter, Wong, and Adams, right?
Yeah, so 4 is like their ceiling. So for me, if like that's the ceiling for lefties, you know, if one of them just happens to sit, then I still probably like Nova, even if there's only 4 lefties in there, just because the Cardinals' offense just not really that talented. And I've talked about it before, and I'm just going to keep going back to this well and attacking the Cardinals. And I think it's a good spot here with Nova. He has some strikeout upside.
Yeah, especially if they go right-handed heavy, 21.5% since the start of 2016 against righties. The thing that I love about Nova when he gets a lot of righties is he's a massive ground ball guy, 59% since the start of 2016. So a lot of ground balls, has the strikeout upside, and only a 4.1% walk rate. Ever since he has gone into this Pittsburgh rotation and worked with this Pittsburgh pitching coach, like, he's really gotten the walks down. He's gotten the strikeout stuff there. Like, I think Nova's super sneaky here on the slate. I don't think people are going to play him.
No, I don't think so either. I think he's one of the lower-owned options that I like a lot on the board.
Looking at Lance Lynn, you know, I'm always concerned about a guy coming back from injury. Really haven't seen him pitch since 2005. The velocity is starting to get there. He's averaging right at 92, which is what he was at in 2015. Any interest here in Lynn?
No, not for me. I just don't think he's any good.
Yeah, we've kind of seen him decline in 2015. Then he got hurt, and now, you know, he's coming back. And, you know, he hasn't impressed me. He hasn't done anything to impress me yet. So, like, you know, he's pitched, what, 10 innings this season, and his swing strike rate's only 7%. So I'm going to probably have some Pittsburgh bats in this matchup.
Yeah, I definitely would love to get the lefties all in here for sure for Pittsburgh. Polanco.
Adam Frazier at the top.
Josh Bell, I think, is a sneaky option. So I think, you know, I like those lefties for sure, but I don't even mind using Marte or McCutchen as well.
Yeah, I like Marte. If I'm going to play either one of those guys, it'd probably be Marte. But I wouldn't be shocked if I could, you know, roll out a top 4 stack here and mix in a little Bell.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as the Cardinals go, like we keep talking about how bad they are. Like, no. It's really Matt Carpenter, and that's it.
I'm not playing Matt Carpenter.
No, I agree with you.
He's first base only at 4,400. Like, no.
God, is he really? 4,400.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, no. I get Will Myers for a lefty. It gets a lefty at the same price.
Well, let's talk about that. Jared Weaver, Jaime Garcia. This game's in Atlanta. I have to watch the rain in this game. It was the only one that I had noticed that had a little bit of concern. Always make sure you check Kevin Ross' weather report. Guy is a beast. I'm guessing you have no interest in Jared Weaver?
No. I have zero interest in either pitcher in this spot.
All right. You know, we tend to like lefties against San Diego, but you look at it and, you know, with the addition of Margot and you know, Renfro in that lineup, like, they get some power against lefties now, too.
This is going to be my sneaky stack of the night.
Yeah, did you watch any of the weekend games in Atlanta?
No, I didn't. I still haven't watched the game, but they scored 8 runs, so looked like the ball was flying out of there a little bit. And they're in Seattle, they hit some home runs, so, I mean, can't be that big, right?
I was reading a thing about it, about how they tried to design it for Freddie Freeman's power. We had a tweet about it last week. I think it was Thursday or Friday. So I went and I tried to find anything, and they actually, you know, had an article out where they had talked about, like, how they're trying to play to Freeman's strengths. If you're going to franchise a guy, why not, right?
Yeah, it's a smart idea, right?
No, I like the idea. I think it's great, and I think it was a good article to read. Google search it. I'm sure you can find it, but yeah. You know, as far as bats, you know, you already talked about how you have your San Diego sneaky stack here. Jaime Garcia, 348 wOBA since the start of last season, 33% hard contact rate, under a 20% strikeout rate against righties, gives up a good amount of home runs as well. Both these pitchers give up a lot of home runs. There could be some home runs in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Freddie Freeman at 4,600, I think, is a viable option. But I think if I'm playing the Braves, I would just stack them up.
Yep. I agree with that, and which is crazy. But, like, I actually like Markakis here. Freeman, you mentioned, Inciarte. Like, I'm not playing Brandon Phillips, but everybody knows that already.
With Ryan Schiff now third base eligible, his ownership is going to be super low all year.
Oh, man, my man. He got another home run on Sunday. They're going to start coming.
He's going to be like 4% all year because he's at third base. It's going to be great.
And just in case I didn't, like, make sure it's out there, I really like Renfro on the Padres side of this game.
I think everyone knows that you love Renfro, so.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, this Padres team, give them a year or so and get these young guys. Whew, be tough to beat. Anything else here? I think we kind of covered most of it.
I think we did.
All right, Milwaukee at Chicago. Chase Anderson against John Lackey. I checked the wind. Looks like it's going to be kind of neutral at about 6 miles an hour blowing in from right. So nothing too worried here. Chase Anderson, no interest for me. Any interest for you?
Don't you remember last year where everyone stacked the Cubs in this spot and he, like, threw like a, he had like a no-hitter going in like the eighth or ninth inning?
No, I don't remember that.
Chase Anderson owns this team. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, he threw a gem last year.
I got the BVP up. 46 at bats, 130 average, only 6 strikeouts, 3 home runs.
3 home runs. I mean, I'm not saying I would ever roster him, but yeah, let's see. It was. Let's see. He got hurt in that game. I know it was here. 8 2/3. Here it is. He ended up giving up 2 home runs late in that start. But he gave up 2 earned runs, struck out 6 with 110 pitches. That being said, he's very bad. So feel free to roster the Cubs if you want.
Yeah. Isn't that just like one of those outliers?
Like, you would think so. But then he did throw like 6 decent innings against them later in the year. So.
All right. Well,
I mean, I can't imagine. I think I'm more likely to fade the Cubs than I would ever be to roster Chase Anderson.
Yeah, and this is probably a good spot if you like firmly believe that. Like, I feel like the Cubs are going to be super popular in this spot.
Chase Anderson's looked good this year. I need to go see if there's anything underlying on it because he looked. I mean, I know Toronto's been bad, but he also looked good against Colorado in the opener. So I need to see, like, I'm going to check Fangraphs real quick, actually. See if there's anything, like, anything underlying that maybe is causing this spike.
He's throwing his changeup a little bit harder.
Oh, he's also cutting down the fastball too. Like, it's he added a cutter, so that's actually like relevant. He's added a new pitch, right? So like last year he threw a cutter 5% of the time. He's up to 17% this year, and he's cut. And it's just coming right off the normal fastball. So. He's still throwing a bunch of fastballs, but now he's got a cutter too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. When he gets mashed, it's on the fastballs. So we'll see what he does here in the start against the Cubs.
The velocity's up a little bit too.
We're not by any means telling you to roster Chase Anderson.
I don't think it's the most crazy thing in the world. I really don't.
All right. Well, I don't think I can personally do it. I would rather, and I hate this guy, I would rather roster your boy Charlie Morton than I would Chase Anderson.
Man. I'm just really mad at myself because I loved Kennedy yesterday, and then I wussed myself out late because I was like, oh, the Angels lineup doesn't have a ton of strikeouts. No. I'm going to go back to Morton in this spot and watch the Angels not strike out. But I think I would – if this cutter is real, like, that would solve his reverse split problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see this being real. And if he throws one more good start, then people are going to be like, oh, you know, he's actually for real, real.
It's something that I'm going to do a lot more research, you know, maybe even when we get off the pod. But,
yeah, you know, low-owned tournament, you know, flyer. I'm not saying, like, go all in on a guy, but I just – I think we shouldn't just dismiss him.
Yeah, because like, you got to remember, too, like, we are talking about the Cubs. You want to talk about a team that is, like, kind of like the Houston Astros, like, super boomer bust. You look at the lineup – Chris Bryant, 23% strikeout rate. Contreras, 27%. Addison Russell, 21%. Javier Baez, 26.9%. Schwarber, very small sample size, 43%. Like, there's strikeouts in this lineup. Like, you know, you look at the ISO numbers and you look at the hard contact. There's a lot of power in this lineup too.
Right. It's just when I look at the names around him, right, in pricing. Tom Kohler, Jesse Chavez, Lance Lynn, Chase Anderson, AJ Griffin, Ariel Miranda. Like, Chase Anderson is the best or the second at worst best out of that list in that price range. So, like, you end up needing someone in that range. I don't think it's nuts.
Other side of this game, John Lackey, do you believe in this, whatever he's doing?
I don't know. It's John Lackey.
I know, but, like, we're starting to get the sample size. You know, we had 188 innings last season of 11.5% swinging strike rate, and he's right back at it again this year. It's super frustrating because you just think John Lackey and you don't think, you know, strikeouts. You think a pretty average, you know, type strikeout guy, and it's like, what is he doing, like, all of a sudden? Because you look at it, and trust me, I've spent a bunch of time on this, and it's just like, same pitches, same type of speeds. Like, what is he doing? And it's just – I feel like it's just baseball.
Well, it could just be he now plays in the division with the Brewers and the Reds.
Sure, it could be that. And, you know, he gets a start against the Brewers, and we talk about this all the time. You know, you're going to have hedge stacks, and you're going to have John Lackey in the spot.
Do I have to roster John Lackey?
Do you have to? No.
It's a heavy ask.
You know, I guess it really depends on what you're going to do on this slate. If you're going to play three entry max and you want to fade Lackey, I have no interest, like, no issues with that. If you're going to roll out, you know, 150 teams on this slate, like, I think you definitely have to have exposure just because of the strikeouts in the Milwaukee lineup.
I guess.
What are we talking
about? This feels like a Lackey gets imploded spot. This has all the ingredients of Lackey giving up, like, 7-2 innings.
Well, he has to get past the GOAT.
Which one?
Eric Thames, baby.
Yeah, could have been Travis Shaw, could have been Ryan Braun. I mean, that's the thing, too. This offense is humming. That's the other thing, too. Like, man.
Thames drank some kind of water when he was in Korea. He's just straight mashing the baseball right now.
Yeah, like, you talk about that MLB barrel alert account, and it's just like, oh, Eric Thames was like his ninth barrel of the season. What a shocker.
Yeah, right? So, all right, so like what we were saying, I think it's really just depending on, like, how many lineups you run here. Like, if you're a single-entry guy, I have no issues with fading lineups.
Okay, the top three guys in the slate, Salazar, Lackey, Ray, how would you grade them?
Salazar would be number three, and we'll talk about it when we get there. I would put – I think Ray's my number one on the slate, and I probably have Lackey number two.
You have Lackey over Salazar. Interesting.
I do, and we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay.
Remember the link I was asking you for before we started? I had to look into something, and yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. All right. Okay.
So that's the only reason that I like Lackey a little bit more, and I think people will roster Salazar today, and I think it's a bad idea. So As far as the Brewers bats go, you know, it's
stack them,
really stack them. There's not what's did they finally raise his price?
Who?
Thames.
I mean, he's been expensive on DraftKings the entire time.
I was talking FanDuel. He's been under 3K the whole season.
I'm sure he'll be under 3K 3 months from now. FanDuel doesn't know what they're doing.
He's 32.
Oh my God! They made him above 3K. Good job.
32. The guy's only hit a home run in what, four straight now?
I was gonna say, what's he around in terms of price?
Let's see who's priced around him. Edwin and Jose Abreu are right next to him.
Wow. All right, FanDuel. I take back that on this one, you actually got it right.
Just for anybody that's curious, Chris Carter is 2,600 on FanDuel today.
Yeah, thanks. Looks about right.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman's 4,100.
On FanDuel?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
All right. And then as far as the Cubs go, I think, you know, stack them.
I'm not – like, there's no way I'm paying these DraftKings prices.
Well, they're expensive on FanDuel, too. Rizzo's the highiest priced first baseman. Zobrist is always cheap.
Chris I'm not Bryant. Paying $5,300 for Anthony Rizzo in this spot. Like, Anderson's a ground ball guy, isn't he?
Against lefties?
I can't look.
No. Fly ball pitcher against lefties and...
Oh, he's a heavy fly ball guy. I knew he's a heavy split. I knew he was heavy.
Yeah, it's fly balls.
Okay. Well, definitely make sure that wind isn't blowing out in Chicago then, but if it's not...
Yeah. Guy, could you imagine...
I'm not paying these prices, Stevie, like...
Hey, that might be something, too, that you know we'd need to go back and look. If any of those games were in Wrigley and the wind was like heavily blowing in, he's a fly ball pitcher?
I'm the one that the gem was in Milwaukee. I remember it because I was very heavy on the Cubs that day.
Yeah, even worse. All right, let's move on. We got the Angels, Astros, Jesse Chavez, Charlie Morton. Any interest in Chavez here?
Man, I don't know what that last start was. It was just bad. The first, he just had a bad start, and then he had a good start. Oh, it was the spring training spark. Just, I don't know, Stevie. Like, I just don't see a ceiling here. It's just,
good.
I think he's fine. I think I'd take Morton first because we all know the Angels can strike out. I'm going back to this well. I've been on Morton's first two starts, and he's been fine. Faced Seattle twice, which wasn't a good matchup. He draws a much better matchup here against the Angels, a right-handed heavy team. So I actually really like this spot for Morton, even though the ballpark's not all that hot.
Yeah. Where did he get this velocity from?
He had it last year, too.
No, I know that. I'm looking at his 2016, 2017 numbers, and you look at years before that, he gained like 2-3 mile an hour on his fastball. Like, it's a huge jump. So
there was an article about it, too, in 2016 with the Phillies. I don't remember, like, in the spring training, like, there was all this stuff about what he did to get it. I don't remember what it was, but.
Listen, I'm gonna roll it out here. You know, you look at all the underlying numbers and everything. Like says, you know, positive regression. The BABIP was over average. 24% strikeout rate against righties last season, and a 55% ground ball rate. Like you said, he's gonna face a bunch of right-handed bats in this lineup, and not the worst a slate to attack a guy like Charlie Morton here.
Yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, everything, all his numbers, he's always been better against righties than lefties. So I don't mind rolling him out here. And it's not like the Angels have a ton of power outside of Mike Trout.
Yeah, Pulis is getting old.
Yeah.
As far as the Angels' bats go, it's Trout. And really the only
Calhoun. I can say Calhoun is a nice tournament option.
Yeah, I can see that. They batted in fifth one day this weekend.
Today, it was today. That's what scared me off of Kennedy. I was like, oh, man, Calhoun's in the middle of that order. Splitting up all those readies. I don't know if I really want to do this.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what type of lineup we get today. As far as the Astros go, I think I'm going to kind of be picky here. Like, Springer. What happened with Correa? I was watching the game this weekend. He got hit in the knuckles. Do we know if he is okay?
He's going to go. So he would have missed today, but they said he will play tomorrow.
I think I'm gonna take the wait and see approach. I don't know if you saw it or not. He got hit by a fastball, like right on the knuckle, like of his left hand. Like, I'll pass. I want to see him hit the ball hard before I'm playing him.
These Astros prices are just insane. Very heavy asks.
Really?
Altuve's 51.
Oh my gosh! No respect Correa's 49, for Chavez.
Springer's 47. Like,
no respect for Chavez.
Josh Reddick at 37, I could do.
Yeah, that's cheap. Reddick's 2,600 on FanDuel, by the way.
Yeah, that's probably like the one guy I have interest in.
And Mike Trout is 5,200 on FanDuel.
He's 54 on DraftKings.
How good is Mike Trout? Well, that tells you how good he is. And always, you know, Brian McCann, always an option for catcher just because he's Brian McCann. Let's move on. Cleveland at Minnesota, Danny Salazar against Kyle Gibson. I do not have any interest in Danny Salazar. Relying on his changeup a lot this season. And when he's throwing his fastball, it's getting hit really hard. And the Minnesota, for some reason, like Dozier and Kepler and Sano, actually hit changeups pretty well. So I'm going to stay away from Danny Salazar in this spot.
Yeah, I after you told me that you were checking out their advanced stats, and I just did a quick look, and you're absolutely right that Minnesota crushes these fastball changeup type guys from righties. Actually, a really sneaky stack in my opinion.
No, yeah, I definitely like the Dozier, Kepler, Grossman, Sano type. I never played Joe Mauer ever, just no ceiling.
Even before Joe Mauer hits two home runs tomorrow.
He's going to hit his 10 to 13, 14 home runs a season. And if that beats me, so be it. I don't care because I'm just not playing him.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I would never play Joe Mauer.
Like,
it would have to be a one-game slate with one first baseman option.
Yeah, I still wouldn't play him because we wouldn't have DFS at slate.
Yeah. Well, no, you would. If the postponement happens after the game starts, it would happen.
Yeah, then I'd have to postpone first baseman and just take my zero.
Zero.
But you know, because you have to have somebody from the other game, and if Kevin Roth had it like orange red or something, like I just punt with Mauer and be done with it.
You would punt first base, take the zero, and no, Mauer wouldn't kill you.
Exactly. Everybody else would punt Kencher, so I'd be contrarian.
Oh my god.
No interest in Kyle Gibson here, right?
No.
No, gets mashed by lefties. So looking at this left-handed lineup, and I say left-handed lineup, it's a pretty switch-heavy lineup. Lonnie Chisenhall came off the DL, and he's a straight mash in the baseball. Like him a lot here for tournaments.
I love this entire game. I'm trying to think if there's anyone in this game I would not play.
I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in this game.
Yeah, I don't think there's literally a single player other than Joe Mauer on both teams that I would not play. Maybe I wouldn't play Yan Gomes. But that's it.
Is BVP, by the way.
Okay, then I would play Yan Gomes.
He did. I noticed that. I was like,
oh, shit, you're not kidding.
Yeah, he's like 7 for 16. Like, look at Dozier. Two
home runs and two doubles. Yeah, no, okay, so basically the only guy you can't play is Joe Mauer. What if I told you Joe Mauer had BVP? Is that where you just, like, draw the line?
I didn't draw the line.
What if one of the hits was actually a homer?
I know. I saw that earlier. Dozier has good BVP. Kepler hit, like, he had a 280 ISO against changeups last season. So, like, if Danny Salazar is going to stick to this changeup, like, Kepler, one of the better tournament plays on the slate.
I like this tournament snack idea. Hopefully this doesn't get too much traction throughout the day.
I don't think it will. People just don't look into advanced stats. Like, people that listen to the podcast, obviously, don't tell your friends.
Yeah, don't tell your friends.
As far as the Twins go, Dozier, Grossman, Sano, Kepler, maybe even Jason Castro, but not too heavy there.
I wouldn't mind Castro.
Yeah, catcher with upside, sure.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to add besides Dozier has just mashed Salazar in his career. I
wonder what the total of this game is. 8.5. That feels low.
8.5? Salazar game? I like it.
Yeah, that's true. That, yeah.
I like it.
It feels low, but that's probably the right number.
I kind of don't want to see it to go up. Then people start jumping on.
People never. This is the spot where they just play Danny Salazar, and they're just like, "Oh, Vegas is wrong."
Yeah, that's why you were asking me, like, Lackey or Salazar, and as much as
that's a no-brainer.
As much as I hate it,
it's a no-brainer.
As much as I hate it, I think that
it's a no-brainer. It's John Lackey.
All right, hold on, my computer messed up here. Texas Rangers, Oakland Athletics, AJ Griffin against Cotton.
Chris Davis. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't mind Chris Davis anytime. So I think this game stinks. This is a game that I don't like a lot in this game.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Huge Why? Ballpark. Cotton has been really impressive. I know it's a small sample size, but he's been really impressive. Like, do you think people attack the young pitcher here with this Texas lineup?
I don't think so, but they should be.
Yeah, I forget what I was reading the other day about him. What does he throw? Like a screwball, right?
I think so.
Sorry, it's so nasty to right-handed bats.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find it. I don't even know what the technical letters would be for a screwball on Fangraphs. Your guess is
SN, I guess.
Yeah, I don't see it. It says fastball, slider, changeup, curve. Anyway, it's just dirty to righties. So, like, definitely don't like the righties here. And, like, just his numbers have been really solid. I just don't know if I can pick on him here.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you there. It's just not something I normally like to do. Sorry, I'm just trying to look up something really quickly, and one of those when you forget your password, this doesn't go as fast anymore.
As far as AJ Griffin goes on this slate, he's always a guy you can pick on. It's just this ballpark kind of stinks, so it's really like Matt Joyce and Chris Davis for me.
Yeah, I was trying to pull up AJ Griffin really quickly to see what he throws against right-handed batters. I just wanted to see how good of a play Chris Davis was. So he's fastball, curveball. Oh, this is going to come up amazing for Chris Davis. Hold on. So right-handed fastballs in that range from 2016, 88 mile an hour fastball. Yeah, that he obliterates those.
He's one for two with a home run off of AJ Griffin.
Yeah. And the curveball, he either swings and misses or hits it a long way. And then the slider he does okay with too. So, yeah, he's a good tournament option for sure.
Matt Joyce still free on DraftKings. I don't have DraftKings pulled up.
I think so.
He's still free on FanDuel at 2,200. Like, he's a good source for salary relief. An outfielder that bats second, that, you know, facing a guy like AJ Griffin who is really struggled against lefties ever since getting called up. 59 innings since getting called up last season, 4.11 wOBA, 44% hard contact rate to lefties, and he's allowed 2.9 home run per nine against lefties. So, like, Joyce, Davis, even Steven Vogt, I think.
Don't forget Jeff Decker. They called him up to replace Kanha and went out there and mashed on Saturday night. He's a lefty. He's 2,300 on DraftKings. I'm not sure what he is on FanDuel, but that's an option.
Good call. Like it. Any bats from Texas that you like here?
No.
I'll be honest with you. If the Texas stack goes off in the slate, I'm just not going to make money.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I'm just Cotton has been impressive, and I'm just not going to attack a guy that's just been pitching really well in a huge ballpark.
And actually is due for some positive regression, too.
Which is even more insane. Miami Marlins at Seattle, Tom Kohler, Ariel Miranda. Any interest here in Kohler?
No.
Any interest in Miranda?
No.
All right, let's talk bats. It's such a thing that I think people will target JT Realmuto here. He has been really bad against lefties since the start of last season. Really, for me, it's Stanton and Ozuna.
Interesting. I'm not sure if I agree with that. think I want to attack Realmuto here, but let me pull up the profile more really quickly. Because Miranda is just a massive fastball, right? Yeah, a fastball guy, right? Yeah, and he's fine against left-handed fastballs.
He's hitting 225 against lefties since getting called up last season.
Yeah, but...
Or starting last season.
It's just a small sample size. Like, I'm not...
Sure, it's 102 at-bats. That's definitely a small sample size.
269 BABIP, too. So how much of it is that, right?
Yeah, the thing
is... 217 BABIP on fastballs? I mean, that's just...
The concerning thing to me when you look at Realmuto's stats is the 24% hard contact rate. That's the concerning thing for me.
Yeah, but...
If it's going to be, like you said, if it's going to be a guy that throws a bunch of fastballs, sure.
Like, in 2015, he hit 281. So, like, I don't know. I'm not going to really just say, like, oh, he's terrible against left-handed pitching because he had a bad season in 93 at-bats. Like, it's Ariel Miranda. He's terrible. I think the price on JT Realmuto is really fair, and I'm going to go there in tournaments. He's seeing the ball really well right now.
God, he's still 2,400 on FanDuel.
Yeah, you're not playing at that price. Get out of here.
That's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, remember FanDuel, I was right the first time when I said you can't price guys.
Like the guys that I had mentioned, you know, that I would like to catcher for like punts. Castro's 26, Vogt's 28, Brian McCann's 3,000. Like, why is Realmuto, who's averaging what?
11 DK points a game?
Yeah, 15 FanDuel points a game or 13? Why is he still 2,400? It's just so annoying. Come on, guys. Anyway, as far as Stanton and Ozuna, these guys, they destroy left-handed pitching. Just, I know it's
Ozuna's
a big
one. Price on DraftKings is criminal.
Is it really high?
No. 3,500.
You want to guess what his price is on FanDuel?
28?
39. So why is Ozuna 39 and Realmuto's 24?
I don't know. But clearly going to play all my Ozuna on DraftKings.
Yeah, that's the good thing about, you know, playing two sites. As far as the Seattle bats go, you know, it's kind of the same guys. Haniger, Cano, Cruz, Seager.
Yep.
And I don't even know if I love him too much in this spot. Like,
no, I don't really love him either. I'd probably use him as a one-off. I needed a one-off. Probably with Seager, the guy I'm most likely to use.
The only thing that I kind of like about Nelson Cruz here is we know Kohler doesn't have a big strikeout rate against righties. He just doesn't have that, like, that strikeout pitch against right-handed bats.
Yeah, Cruz just hasn't really done a whole lot this season. I think I'm perfectly fine sitting this one out.
Haniger, by the way, averaging 16 FanDuel points per game is 2,700.
Well, I probably won't even play baseball over there again. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Just look at the guy. He has hits in what? 10 straight. 10 straight games he has a hit, and he is 2,700. Against a guy that doesn't strike out righties. Like... If you guys are listening, we're pretty much making a cash game lineup for you. let's move on. Last game of the night, Arizona at Los Angeles, taking on the Dodgers. Robbie Ray, Brandon McCarthy. Love Ray in the spot. You know, we don't – like we talk about it all the time. Dodgers, elite team against right-handed pitching, but bottom five last season against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, going right back to the Robbie Ray well. He's shown the strikeout upside. The control hasn't been there, and it normally isn't there, but when – he actually does show some control. It's great. So I'm going to roster Robbie Ray here in this pitcher's park. And, yeah, if he gets shelled, so be it. I'm not going to win money on the slate.
And you look at it, man. The numbers are legit. The swinging strike rate, the contact rate, it's just legit. Like, we're getting into almost 200 innings of this sample size of him having right around 11.5 to 11.8 swinging strike rate, the contact rate under 75%. Like, these are elite numbers, and, you know, the guy's just not getting any respect, and he has massive strikeout upside.
Yeah, for sure.
Brandon McCarthy, on the other hand, no interest for me here.
I like him. Why don't you like him?
He gives up a ton of hard contact to a team that hits the ball really hard. He's a fine tournament play, which, you know, what we're talking about, because he does have strikeout upside. But I would not be shocked if he gives up a bunch of home runs in this game. I guess the ballpark is okay, too.
Yeah, he's looked good. I don't know. And I'm not saying I'm in love with him. I think the price is a tad insane, but I wouldn't be actively stacking against him.
Yeah, you just look at it, like Lamb, Goldschmidt, Tomas, all these guys, you know, David Peralta, AJ Pollock, you know, all over 36% hard contact against righties since the start of last season. So, like, you know, you got a hard contact pitcher, a hard contact lineup, like, and McCarthy's pretty neutral fly ball, ground ball. Like, I could see this being a spot that if you're going to play some McCarthy, make sure you definitely have a hedge stack.
Fair enough.
And then as far as bats for Arizona, what I was just saying, yeah, it kind of applies to the bats. Like, 1-5 is definitely in play for me for a stack.
Yeah, I don't like it, but whatever. What else are we getting ready?
It's Dodgers for you. Anybody?
No.
Yeah, I'm not picking on Ray here. Like, yes, yeah, Puig's off to a good start, but, like, I'm just not picking on Robbie Ray. I respect the strikeout upside of this guy.
Yeah, these right-handed guys like to expand the zone too, which really fits a Robbie Ray skill set.
Yep, so it's not a spot that I like the Dodgers. And, it's kind of it, right? Like, man, got through those games. Pretty good slate here. Like, I like the pitching on the slate a lot more. You know, when you do the research and you're looking at it and then you start going game by game, a couple more options that, you know, I think we're kind of in agreeance here as we get going.
All right, Stevie, we got to do the draft thing?
Yes. Yes, so Monday and Fridays we're going to be doing play draft drafts. You guys really liked it as far as Twitter was concerned on Friday, so that's always fun. We're going to be doing these on Monday and Friday. If you guys haven't checked out Play Draft, make sure you guys check them out, playdraft.com/grinders. That way you guys get that deposit bonus. You get 100% deposit bonus up to $600. So make sure you guys are checking that out. I get first pick here, CJ.
So we're going to do a couple today because we got some time. So we're going to do a hitter only, a pitcher only, and then a your standard 2 and 3, just to maybe expand the player pool a little bit here.
All right, let's see here. I don't know which one I'm on, so I'm just going
to
do the one.
Hitter only, just to tell you now.
All right. Let's see. Hitter only first. I think it's a no-brainer. It's Mike Trout in this format.
So I took my boy Freddie Freeman in that ballpark that was carefully designed for him, and then Carlos Santana against Kyle Gibson because Kyle Gibson is not good.
All right. Well, I'm going to roll out some Chris Bryant against Chase Anderson. And
all right, Chase, let's get it done, baby.
One more time, right?
One more time.
And then another guy that I like today that I can't really play him too much, you know, what we were talking about price-wise, but Jose Altuve right there. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to really go
into I don't know if you agree, but, like, Jose Altuve, a guy, like, really good for the play draft format. He usually always scores your points.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to take Edwin. I'm going to keep firing up this Kyle Gibson's bad narrative. And then I'm actually going to go take one of our boys here. This has the early game on it.
It does. I noticed.
So I'm going to take Mookie.
Oh, all right. You started like, oh, I'm going to take one of your boys. I was like, you're starting to get worried. You're going to take the BVP guy today.
I was going to, and then I scrolled down. I saw Mookie Betts was there, and I was just like, yeah, you know what? Mookie against a lefty, I'll take that.
And I'm going to ride this Minnesota train with my boy here, if I can find
him. No, don't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to ride my boy.
Ugh. Budge.
Max Kepler reminds me of Ryan Schimpf from last season. I started calling Ryan Schimpf and like nobody was playing him, and I feel like Kepler's like the same kind of dude.
I'm gonna take my boy Kyle Seager against Tom Kohler. It's a good spot for him.
Yep. Kohler not a big strikeout guy. Seager a guy that, you know, hits the ball hard. Like it. So you got first pick in both the other ones, so you got first pick here.
All right. If you want to do pitcher only and then we'll do combined.
Oh, that's fine.
Or you do combined, then pitcher. Doesn't matter to me.
Yep, no problem.
All right, let's do combined. I'll take my Trout.
Hedge life.
I mean, I'm not going to pass my Trout with the number one pick. Like,
that's okay. Certain,
you know, there's enough pitchers on the slate where I can kind of just – I'll deal with what's left after you take the two that you want.
Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take both the guys that I like here.
That's fine. So now he's taking two pitchers, so I can now just load up on the bats.
I took Lackey and Robbie Ray in this format. I feel like those are the two safest pitchers on the board.
So I took Freddie Freeman, of course, and then I'm going to take Carlos Santana. Pretty loaded hitting lineup there.
Yeah, I like what you did there. I'm going to do a little bit of
Hedge life
here. I'm going to take Dozier. Obviously, love Dozier in the spot. And then I'm going to take our boy, Mookie Betts.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only, like, exposure you're going to get to that game. So, like,
yeah, for sure. I'll take Brandon McCarthy. I talked about liking him. I think it's a pretty good spot against the Arizona team. And then the other pitcher is kind of interesting. I could go with Salazar against Minnesota, which I don't like, Cotton against Texas, or I could go Morton against Angels. Let's take my boy Charlie Morton.
Your man. This is the spot that Morton gets blown up just because I'm jumping on the board.
Yeah, probably.
And then I'm going to take Jose Altuve. I already talked about like how I just love him in this type of format.
Yeah, for sure. So in the pitcher only.
You know what I just realized, right? Like, we just did a combined, and we did hitters, and neither one of us took Stanton or Ozuna.
Yeah, I thought about that, but that's just a bad ballpark. Like, if we ran back the hitting one, I'm sure we would have done that. But so I took Robbie Ray with the first overall pick. I left him Lackey. I don't have a good feeling about Lackey today. I don't like it. You took Morton fourth overall. Wow.
Yeah. Took my dude Lackey and Charlie Morton. And this pitcher only one's interesting. This is definitely good for the listeners here.
Yeah, so I took McCarthy again. And now I'm kind of back in the spot where I didn't have to make this decision last time, but I do this time. Cotton, Salazar still on the board. I guess I need to take him in this format. You know what? I'll make you take Salazar. I'll take Cotton.
I wanted Cotton.
Yeah.
I think you missed the obvious one, though. I have Nova against St. Louis. I think I would have taken him before Cotton. Man,
I'm going to take Cotton first.
Really do not want Salazar.
Well, if you don't take him, I'll take him for you off your hands next time, I promise.
The only Danny Salazar I'm going to have on the slate, and he's going to be destroyed.
All right, I conned him into taking Danny Salazar. My job here is done.
We took Danny Salazar seventh. Like, we took him seventh in a
pitcher only. I'll take Jesse Chavez, and I'm going to max tilt Stevie. I'm going to take my boy, Chase Anderson, baby. Let's get it done.
Oh, man.
That's really sick. Stevie has choices like Javier Garcia, Miranda, Wright.
Who's my 10th overall pitcher on the slate? That's what I'm looking at here. Oh, gosh. I hate this guy, but whatever. He's not going to go negative.
Lance Lynn.
I look at the rest of them and I'm like, man, they really could go negative.
Make sure that you guys, if you're not already playing on draft, use that promo code Grinders over there at playdraft.com. Always a good time.
Always a good time. We got some Home Run Derby, and then we got to get out of here. I think I went first on Friday, so I think you're up here.
Well,
Home Runs Friday, by the way, finally.
Oh, yeah? How many did you get?
I think I got three.
Oh, wow. I'm going to take Mike Trout.
All right. You realize I didn't veto that just because I wanted Dozier?
Veto.
Yeah. If you guys were wondering how much we like Dozier on the slate, I'm going to take Stanton.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Kepler.
All right, I'll take Ozuna.
I'm not letting you have Ozuna.
Dan, think so. Okay, I'll take Carlos Santana.
I'd rather you have Santana.
And I will take... I really didn't think you were going to veto that one. I'll take Chris Davis with a K.
Oh, you missed the easiest one of the day, and you picked him in first pick both times. Freddie Freeman, my man.
You can have Freddie. I'm taking my boy Chris Davis. I like Freddie Freeman. He's more of a contact guy. The home runs, you just never really can count on. So,
CJ, it's Jared Weaver.
Did you not watch that Coors Field Sterling start four-hitter?
He had a four-hitter, so people are going to, like, back off him here, and, like, the Braves are going to put up, like, five or six runs on him in, like, two or three innings, and he's not going to make it to the fourth?
Probably. Or he's going to throw another gem, and all the people that went right back to the well are going to be like, you have to be freaking kidding me.
Well, I'm going to be one of those people going right back to the freaking well. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Oh, man. No, it's a good slate, though. Good tournament slate.
Good tournament slate for sure. All right, that's going to do it here for the Monday edition of the Morning Grind Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. Good luck in your contest, and we'll see you guys then.
Whether you're entering one or 100 lineups into a contest, you need to be using our RotoGrinders lineup builder and optimizer. The optimized setting creates the best possible lineup given your projections and player pool, both of which are customizable. The build setting is intended for tournament players and will create up to 150 lineups in seconds, all based on your filters and exposure settings, and then export them for use on FanDuel or DraftKings. Spend less time building lineups and more time enjoying the game. Use Lineup Builder today.